Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that Epic refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for July 15th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is our 2 of 2. We always want to protect life, liberty, and property and promote God, family, and country on your radio. It is a freedom-loving fantastic. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, all kinds of good things are going on. Max back. The good sheriff's with us. CSPOA.org. Become a member today. Hello, Sheriff.
Good morning, Sam. Is Kurt with us?
Absolutely. Hi, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Nice to hear from you, Sheriff.
I was just going to have you start out and say buenos dias and beat Kurt to the punch, and then I thought he was going to have you, you know, say your lines and, you know.
I don't have a call line like he does.
Well, you had an interesting call line when I called you. You said I just got off the phone with Time Magazine.
Yes.
And then I was going to ask you, but I decided to put you on the radio and have this conversation live. I was thinking, is that the Time Magazine, this too chicken to print my articles? Is that the one we're talking about?
Yeah, that's the one.
All right, because those guys promised they'd print my article until they saw my hard-hitting expose, and they chickened out. They're a little afraid of the Sam Bushman delivery, huh?
We're going way back in time, excuse the pun, on that one.
Several years ago, ladies and gentlemen, it was kind of funny. They had apologized to Richard Mack about something, and they said, you can write any article you want. And Richard's like, well, I'd actually rather have a friend write it. And they're like, okay, no problem. And then they saw my article, and they were like, wait a minute. We're not doing this.
Yeah, wasn't exactly complimentary about Time Magazine's integrity.
But it was honest. It was hard-hitting, and it was the truth.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Just saying. What'd they say this time, though? We love you now, Richard?
No.
Okay.
Last night was a huge meeting, and it has something to do with you.
Well, that's, I hope, good news.
Well, your name never came up, but it was about whether or not Oath Keepers was going to go and help with security at the RNC.
Well, I hear that they were, and I reported that it was our understanding that they are. There were some mainstream press reports reporting that they were.
Well, yours truly opposed it and spoke up rather vociferously against it. And the board agreed with me, and Stuart withdrew his motion for us to go.
Really?
And CSPA, of course, is not in it. We wouldn't even consider gathering members to go do that.
Yeah, it's not really a role we play.
No, and I don't believe it was, originally it wasn't the role that Oath Keepers was going to play, but Stuart Rhodes is very dedicated to providing people in this country protection, and especially when it comes to liberty issues. And I have maintained that Oath Keepers owes the RNC or Cleveland or other people there that we don't owe them anything, and that this really is not a freedom issue, that it's a security issue. And I don't believe that that is the role of Oath Keepers, as to provide security. And I could, my comment was, the RNC is in charge of this, and if they want security, they can ask, of course, local police and FBI and sheriff's office and everyone else for help. But that it really is not our responsibility to help the RNC have a convention.
And let me tell you, I feel two ways about this. Whenever we can provide honest protection that you can trust, it's hard to think that's a bad thing. So on the radio, we talked about that they may be there, and we're like, good, we hope that at least some people we can trust will be there.
Right.
So from that point of view, it's a good thing. However, I agree with your points.
Well, and even if we were there, okay, if we could get, which would be a stretch, if we could get 100 people there, who would organize us, and how would the police know who we are, and how would we make sure that no one was trying to duplicate us and make it look like what they were doing was actually in our name, or that people were actually pretending to be us and then cause trouble? And how we coordinate all of that with local law enforcement and how we let local law enforcement there know that we are there to help. And it was actually a Bikers for Trump that asked us to go. And we would have been coordinating with them, and we don't know who they are. Their leadership was on the phone with us, and they seem like great people, no question about that. But the rest of them, to trust Oath Keepers to a bunch of bikers who we don't know, and they might all be great people, we don't know.
Well, and they might be great people, but they also might be infiltrated.
Yeah, of course, and Oath Keepers could get infiltrated also.
Sure. Without question.
And so it's too big of a situation. It's easily out of control. If we go and somebody gets hurt, will we have to take responsibility for it or blame? I guarantee you we'll take blame. If we don't go and people get hurt, are we responsible because we didn't go?
And I don't think so.
No, I say no on both counts. And so I really think on this situation, we would love and go to protect somebody like yourself. Hopefully you'll be inside, and I think that's where it's going to be a lot safer. And but anyway, we sure wish you well, but it doesn't look like Oath Keepers is going, unless some of them just decide to go on their own.
Yeah, so let me tell you a little story. How did my name come up in this thing then?
No, yours never came up. I was just thinking about you at the time.
All right, I see.
I knew you were going to be there.
All I can tell you is this. It's very interesting. We had praised the Oath Keepers for going, if you will. And the reason we did is because, you know what? It's a good thing that there's people that you can trust. I don't trust the cops in Cleveland, unfortunately. And that's the problem here. But I think it's a good thing that they're there in the sense that there'd be some trustworthy parties to provide stability and security and safety. A lot of that was done in Ferguson very successfully. There's a big difference, though, and that is that Ferguson had private individuals who wanted them there, and there was a way to coordinate with local business owners on private property and then to work with the local officials there based on that premise. We've got local presence. We've been asked to be here. We're related to private property and the wishes of those who own that property. This is a completely different scenario. So even though
it is,
I would personally think, hey, anywhere the Oath Keepers are, there's going to be a lot safer scenario. I applaud that. However, if we're voting for the board, would side with you and vote against going.
Yeah, it was hard to go against Stewart on this, which I did. And he and I kind of shared some disagreeing opinions. And
that happens when it gets difficult decision time.
Yeah.
That happens to all of us, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And so anyway, he was, in fact, I said this. I said, Stuart, you've been wanting to go there from the get-go. This wasn't the first meeting we've had about this. And you've been wanting to go every time. And he goes, yes, and you've been against it the whole time. And I said, yes, because nothing has changed. Every time we talk about it, nothing has changed. And if it was, I'm going to tell you right now, I would be getting ready to go right now. I would beat you there, Sam, to go. If it was any of the local agencies that asked us to come help, I would go. Okay? I would take my son, like I did with at the Bunkerville siege that you know very well, that my son and I went. This is, we were asked to go by Bikers for Trump. And I don't think they have a handle on the situation at all. I don't think that they're going to be a calming influence. As soon as you hear that, oh, the bikers are here, that makes people on edge. It makes you kind of sit up in your chair and go, what? We have Bikers for Trump that are actually helping with security. And the information and the intel that we have as to how many people there are going and how many people are going to try to cause a problem, there is no way that if we even sent 200 or 300 people that we would be able to address the problem.
It's too mammoth. The other problem is that the officials there have their own plan in place. How valuable it is or not, with what I hear, is a question. But
right.
My point is that unless there's coordination there, it's disaster in the making.
Right. And another thing that came up, Sam, as you well know, this has been announced nationally that Ohio is an open carry state and people will not be declined.
But don't worry, Sheriff. There's a headline that we reported yesterday. The new Black Panthers are going to bring guns to Cleveland, Ohio at the Republican convention, but only if the law allows them to.
Yeah.
Your response in seconds.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with the live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Kirk Crosby, Sheriff Richard Mack, CSPOA.org on the line. So I wrote my headline on this now. The Oath Keepers will not provide security for the Republican convention in Cleveland. Is that accurate, Sheriff?
Yes.
Now, I don't know if individual Oath Keepers are going. That's a different discussion. The point is, it was said that and reported by some news organizations. We picked it up and talked about it on the radio. That, you know what, they're going to go and security will be there. They're not doing it. Oath Keepers will not provide security for the Republican convention in Cleveland.
Right.
Now, as you guys have those board meetings and you assess this, I agree that it's not wise to go. I would vote against it, even though I wish they were there, if you will. Because I believe, I trust them. I've seen the Oath Keepers. They're professional. I've been involved with them in many, many personal situations, individual relationships. And I'm telling you, they're phenomenal people. They're good, really good.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I just don't think it's wise for the reasons that you already articulated. But the reason I ask this now, and I know you may not be able to give intel from the board meeting, but you might be able to tell us this. What's the assessment on the ground? How dangerous is it going to be? Are they worried? Are there going to be people coming there, individuals, to make a difference? What do you think?
The word that was used the most, Sam, in our over 2-hour discussion was nightmare. That the situation on the ground in Cleveland is expected to be a nightmare. And there's just no way that we could change that description, that we could provide any help or assistance or security that would help.
Well, there's one way that would make sense. One, if the local officials were to invite you guys, that's one. Oh. The other one that I would really accept and think would be maybe even a better choice is this. What about Donald Trump's team asking you to go? Or is there any talks, or has anybody discussed or been able to ask about that?
No, I actually tried to get a hold of Donald Trump's team.
You said, "Hey, Don, it's Mac."
This past week. Okay. Well, I tried to get the contact information from Sheriff Arpaio.
Yeah.
For that. And Arpaio, I guess, was in a bad mood, and he says, "No, I'm not going to help you with that." You know. And so anyway, it's really hard to get through there.
Joe's disappointing, isn't he?
Yeah, he kind of made it about him and said, "I'm the one that needs help, and I can't get any sheriff to back me up on my situation, and this dang judge is going after me. You know, he doesn't have the jurisdiction." And finally, I did get Arpaio's team with the help of another guy that was very familiar with my case, and Detective Zulo, who you know very well.
Of course.
He tried to take my, well, he did. He took my case before Arpaio's team of lawyers and said, "You guys need to challenge the federal judge's jurisdiction on this," which they should have done from the get-go. And it turns out they did, Sam. They did challenge the jurisdiction, which I've been trying to get him to do for years. And so finally Zulo got behind it, and he made it happen. But from what I understand, the judge scoffed at it. So anyway, this is my analysis of the whole thing. Oath Keepers going or not going is not going to make any difference. And in fact, we believe that there's no way we could make a difference if we went. Because the sheer numbers that we're looking at in Cleveland are going to be impossible to manage.
I unfortunately agree with your point.
It's going to be impossible for the local police, Secret Service, FBI. It's going to be impossible. In fact, at one point they were saying that the only refuge, if things really go bad, if the Shinola hits the fan, then the only refuge is going to be getting to the Cayuga River and swimming away. And so that's one of the scenarios of how bad it got. But I would like to do an analysis, Sam, that shows the power and impact of terrorist activity. First of all, now we have got to ban trucks, big trucks, in the world, and not let them get anywhere near.
Yeah, because pardon the pun, people aren't very nice with them, aren't they? Are they?
No. They're not. And so you can't trust people with trucks.
People especially aren't nice in Nice, you know?
So you're going to have to keep all trucks, 5 miles away from any event. And so you might as well just ban trucks altogether. And secondly, we're going to have a worldwide ban. The United Nations is going to help with that, getting rid of guns. Because in this particular case, both were used. Trucks and guns. So we got to get rid of trucks and guns. Secondly, what have we learned how effective terrorist attacks can be, even if they're halfway across the world, as this occurred in France? It now has put Donald Trump behind. He has postponed or canceled his announcement today for his running mate. And so if I were a terrorist, I would say the best way to interrupt the RNC is to have a terrorist attack someplace else. We don't have to worry about the terrorist attack in Cleveland because the protesters and idiots that are going to be there are going to make enough problems for them that you don't even need to do a terrorist attack. But if you want to interrupt the Republicans, have a terrorist attack someplace else. Because we've just learned that Donald Trump is willing to change his schedule, change his huge announcement that the press and everybody have been anxiously awaiting for. But so what was the message? Terrorist attack can and will interrupt our political process. And so look for that. I would look for that to happen someplace else, both during the Democrat and Republican conventions. And we've already had five very serious, huge terrorist attacks during the last month. Five. And the next thing that's going to happen, you will see this, how Barack Obama, when he leaves office, has made the world a safer place. And he will brag about that, and the Democrats will brag about it, and he will get up at the RNC and brag about that. And DNC, when Hillary has him come out on the floor and endorse her and say what a great world, a great thing everything is about, and we've got a handle on terrorism, and of course he will continue to refuse to call it what it is. But I kind of agree with him. I don't care what you call it, but I care if you do something about it. And his policies have been horrible. And in fact, people know because he is so prone to support Islamic radicals that they know they can do pretty much anything, and Barack Obama's not going to do anything about it. So he has set the stage for a lot of this, and the only thing he can say is come out just as he did at the Dallas funeral for those three officers, is promote more gun control.
It was five officers, right?
Well, three had a funeral that he spoke at.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, I just want to make sure people understand.
Correct.
Five people died, unfortunately.
Five people died. He spoke at the funeral for three of the officers, along with President Bush.
Now, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I guess Newt Gingrich got diarrhea of the mouth. And Newt Gingrich says, deport every Muslim who believes in Sharia. What do you say to that, Sheriff?
Well, you know, I actually thought of that last night, too. I thought that was going to come up again, and it has. And Donald Trump is looking a lot smarter as this goes on.
Now, Donald Trump says we need to make the border extremely tight. I agree with that, but I'm not for exporting anybody because of their beliefs.
No. Now, I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that this is going to come up again.
No question.
And that countries are going to start looking at not having refugees or Islamic refugees coming into their country is definitely going to be coming up again.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, quick pause. I'm going to have to tell Richard the story on air I've been telling over the last several weeks. You see, the Donald invited me to go to Cleveland, Sheriff, with VIP status. I'll tell you about it in seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Scientific data are no longer relevant to the debate over climate change because the effects of the supposed crisis can now be seen, according to climate change alarmist Michael Mann. Fundamentally, I'm a climate scientist and have spent much of my career with my head buried in climate model output and observational climate data, Mann stated during a hearing of the Democratic Party's platform committee. What is disconcerting to me and so many of my colleagues is that these tools that we've spent years developing increasingly are unnecessary because we can see climate change, the impacts of climate change now, playing out in real time on our television screens in the 24-hour news cycle. Without impartial, multi-sourced data collection, of course, it is impossible to know whether the story depicted in the media is reliable. Objective assessment of the available data show that the extreme weather events said to be markers of climate change, such as hurricane activity, are declining rather than becoming more common. As the editors of Greeny Watch, a climate change skeptic organization, put it, the statistics are pretty doleful for warmism. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. North Carolina's Republican Governor Pat McCrory has signed into law a measure that withdraws dash cam and body cam footage of police encounters from public access. Invoking the recent killing of five police officers in Dallas, McCrory insisted that in making it practically impossible for the public to obtain police video records, quote, my goal is to protect those who protect us. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
So we've been teasing our audience a little bit, talking about this Republican convention next week, Sheriff, and we've been suggesting, you know, what if Kurt Cosby went, and, you know, Kurt Cosby might appear there, Sam Bushman might just magically appear there with Donald, and you know, maybe Kurt Cosby's the vice presidential pick and stuff like that. And one of the things that happened is the Donald emailed me and said, Sam, I really want you to be at the Republican convention with me. And if you click on this link, then you can go ahead and, you know, sign up. And if you win, then you'll be in and you'll get this special VIP treatment at the convention. And so I clicked on that thing and I think I'm going to win. So it's going to be VIP all the way for me, Sheriff.
Well, that sounds pretty exciting. My first question was, now, you know me, I'm always thinking of logistics.
And, yeah.
Okay, so where in the world are you staying?
What? I can't tell everybody that.
Well, okay, do you have a hotel?
I've got better than a hotel.
You're staying at somebody's home?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
So you and Kurt have family in the Cleveland area?
No. But we got friends
in high
places.
Well, we got brothers and sisters there.
Yeah. Right? No, listen, we got a safe, good place to stay for sure. And believe it or not, I'm joking about this. Okay, let me tell you the story. Here's the real story. I did get this email, and I did click on it to see if I would win, but I have no illusions that I'm going to win. That's all good, fun, radio, you know, kind of stuff.
Sure.
The truth is we have media credentials to attend the Republican National Convention. The truth is we have a booth inside the convention that we will be broadcasting live from. And the truth is we have a safe, good place to stay. And the truth is we have a whole team of people that will give us passes to the floor while the speeches are going, et cetera. And a group to help us get interviews from key people within the event as we broadcast live next week. And the truth is we already have our plane tickets, and the truth is we already have everything in place, including a safe, good place to stay, et cetera.
Okay.
Now, for example, the first night I'm staying at a Hampton, just so you know, with free breakfast.
Well, of course, Hamptons all have free
breakfast. And then we're staying at a personal home. I can't tell you the relationship. I'm just telling you. We're staying at a safe home right by the convention, and we have credentials to get inside guaranteed. So
I'm surprised you got a hotel room at all for even one day. But
Sheriff,
yeah,
you're talking to Sam Bushman, buddy.
Yeah.
Come on. Of course I got a hotel I'm just teasing. The only reason I say that is because I've negotiated so many hotel rooms in different places that people know about and that, come on, I got a hotel room. It's all happening. In fact, they just emailed me and they said, are you going to check in early?
Yeah.
So, you know, but we got our flights and everything. Everything is all happening. And I think it's going to be fine and safe and good. And I think, you know what? It's important for us to really broadcast live and convey the message of what's really going on, Sheriff. It really is.
Well, I think that you're going is wonderful. I mean, I'm glad you're going. You know, you probably should have hired the good sheriff as your personal bodyguard, but, you know, that's about $1,000 a day for that.
Yeah, yeah. Heard that. I asked Kurt for the money, and he said no.
Yeah. It's probably his wife. You know, she's smarter than he is.
That's the fact. His wife is smarter than he is. I'll agree with that.
I'll tell you a little story about that real quick.
About your wife being smarter than you?
Yeah, that's right. Right.
Sure.
You know, yesterday, you know, we have recently bought a mortgage. You know, some people say buy a house, but you buy a mortgage, in my opinion. But anyway, the house that we live in is the same house, but, you know, now we own the mortgage. Well, anyway, we got some sprinkler problems, which is not, you know, unusual for any home with a you know, sprinkler system. And so I was doing my best to identify the problem. And I noticed that, you know, it seemed like we were having a little leak, this one sprinkler head here. And so I figured, hey, it must be a problem on this sprinkler. My wife pointed out that, how could there be water there if the sprinkler zone wasn't turned on? Because, you know, I mean, there shouldn't be any leak going on. And I mean, you know, that kind of logic was really smart because I wouldn't have had to dig up the hole. I just realized that, hey, the valve was not completely turned off to that zone, you know. And, you know, I hate to notify everybody that, you know, I wasn't very smart.
I think that your wife ought to just let you dig for the fun of it.
I already had dug it, you know, to show off my manliness.
Now, by the way, don't tell everybody how smart your wife is too much, or Donald might try to hire her.
Well, you know, anyway, I thought it was impressive, you know.
Yeah.
Not on my behalf. But
now, Michael Savage thinks Trump ought to have Mike Pence as the VP, and everybody thought Mike Pence was going to be the deal. That was the early leak. Ann Coulter went ballistic and said that'll be the first biggest mistake that Donald's made if he picks Mike Pence as the VP. But they say Mike Pence, Chris Christie, and Newt Gingrich are the top three on the list. What do you say, Sheriff?
Well, why was Ann Coulter so ballistic about Pence?
Because she thinks he's a sellout on immigration. And, you know, she has facts on her side.
Oh, well.
I think Coulter would be a good choice.
Yeah.
The only problem with her, though, is if your goal is to try to calm things down a little bit, she ain't the gal to get.
Yeah, I'm almost to the point where I would say it's all a dog and pony show. It's all entertainment. I've said that before. It's all entertainment, and that's all I'm looking at the presidential election to be, is entertaining. So I hope you send back a lot of entertainment while you're there. And, who he picks as his vice president, unless it was Sheriff Clark, I really...
Now, let me stop you there for a second.
Or Sheriff
Matt. As far as we understand, Sheriff Clark is on the speaker's list. Is that accurate? Do you know?
That's another thing I was telling Arpaio that I wanted Donald to do, is to make sure that he had Sheriff Clark involved.
Okay, I'm pretty sure that's happening. Let me tell you the problem. We've seen a list of people that are supposed to be speaking at the convention next week.
Yeah.
And David A. Clark Jr. was on that list, and so was Tim Tebow.
Yes.
But now Tim Tebow says it's all a rumor, it's bogus, it isn't true.
Oh, wow, really?
That's what Tim's saying in the mainstream press, yeah. So I think that Clark is speaking.
I mean, the press has been all over that he's...
I understand. But I'm telling you that the... let me see who it is here. Yeah, he's not going to speak after all. says the New York Times National Desk. So which, in my opinion, is disappointing.
Yeah, it is. Because I really think Tim Tebow is a good person.
He's agreed.
Very strong, obviously, on his dedication to his Christian beliefs. And I've always liked him. I was hoping that he was going to do well in the NFL and set a good example of honorable behavior. And for Trump to get him there to speak, that would have been good for Trump. No question about it.
I agree. And I'm not sure what's happened. I'm just telling you, he said no. Now, I don't know how to confirm at this stage. I know David Clark.
I think it would be even better that Sheriff Clark would be speaking.
Agreed. But, and I hope that he is.
I told that to Sheriff Arpaio that I wanted to recommend that he put Sheriff Clark on his vice president list and that he for sure have him speak. And Arpaio scoffed at the whole thing. I think he's a little bit jealous of Sheriff Clark, you know, and he should have me speak, you know, and he should have me as his vice president. I said, you wouldn't accept it. You just want to be sheriff. And he goes, that's right.
Well, the other problem with Joe Arpaio, no offense.
He's 84 years old.
But at 84 years old, it's just not going to be a good omen. They're just going to have a heyday with that. David A. Clark Jr. has a good name and is well-liked and respected. Joe Arpaio, like or dislike Joe. I like Joe, but I don't think he's constitutional. But my point about it is that he's under all kinds of controversy. What good would it do to add controversy to the mix?
Right.
So no offense, there's just no value.
Right.
In doing that.
And Sheriff Clark, where he's very strong on his opinions, he's not viewed as very controversial. He's been very anti-Obama, and I think that would be in his favor. He's a black American. He's very popular in law enforcement. He's been defending law enforcement all across this country. And I think it would be very wise for Donald to have him at least as a speaker. I mean, and to announce that he's going to be in his cabinet or take over Department of Homeland Security would be wise. Not that I support DHS existence. Maybe we could finally get somebody in Washington, D.C. that would start streamlining some of these agencies and cutting back and bringing in, reining in TSA.
And at least do what the agency's supposed to do, which would be to protect America, and maybe tightening up the border would be a good idea.
Right, exactly.
I mean, come on, let's be, even though we don't agree with a lot of these agencies, you know what, there are legitimate reasons that they're launched, and if they'd stick to those reasons, I'm not saying they'd be great, I'm just telling you they wouldn't be the pariahs they are now.
Right.
Quick pause. Sheriff Mack with us. CSPOA.org. Liberty Roundtable live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm hold right now with David A. Clark Jr., Milwaukee, Wisconsin Sheriff's Office, asking if they can confirm for me about whether he'll be speaking at the Republican National Convention next week in Cleveland, Ohio. Time will tell. Hopefully I can get this answer before we're off the air. But Sheriff, they're supposedly going to release the 120 or the 28 pages. Kurt, you got the details on this of the 911 stuff, which is going to directly implicate Saudi Arabia, right, Kurt?
Well, it's pretty interesting because we had that story just the other day that the Republicans had basically
shut
said,
it
hey,
down.
Yeah. We're not going to put that in our platform or our plank or whatever. But now, according to CNN, it says that Congress, they say they're going to be released as early as today. That's what sources told CNN, known as the 28 pages, the secret document, you know, it's part of open transparency of government and stuff, was part of a 2002 congressional investigation on the September 11th attacks. I guess it turns out they say that there are actually 29 pages. Anyway, Jerry Goldman, he's a lawyer who represents families of the victims in a class action suit seeking to sue Saudi Arabia, said this is great news. The families are happy, just as the American people should be happy that information that has been kept hidden for well over a decade is finally coming to light. Sure, a lot of that kind of information. I guess that's the bottom line for you. What do you say, Sheriff?
Well, I think we've got a lot to digest today. Man, we've covered a long, wide range of topics today in this show. My goodness, I hope Sam's actually getting that call from Sheriff Clark's office.
Well, that's probably what's happening.
I'm having a good time on the radio trying to get the answer to this at the same time. See, most people have producers and stuff that do this in the background for them. Sam just does everything. You know what I mean?
That's right. But the thing is, different about Sam compared to everybody else is he can do that. I've seen him with, like, four sets of headsets on his head.
Yeah, he's a
somehow,
multitasker.
He only has, like, two ears, but somehow he can listen to four sets of headsets.
That's why I always said I would not be a good dispatcher, because dispatchers have to be in an emergency situation. They have to be very adept at multitasking. And me, I have to focus on one thing and then, you know, move on from there.
Yeah, but like me, that piece of gum
you
is
really
gotta
have
be
to. As a police dispatcher, you really have to be able to multitask.
Yeah, well, that's right.
So,
when I look at this story with the Saudi Arabia thing, let's just call for openness and transparency in government. Let's get rid of that redacting pen that we've been using for so long. And let's just say, hey, I thought openness and transparency meant openness and transparency.
You knew that openness and transparency was not going to happen because Barack Obama said that it was going to happen. So you
yeah, that's
knew.
Right.
There's no way he was telling the truth on that.
Yeah. Good
yeah.
point. Our buddy Jerry Hughes would always say one of the top 10 laws of politics is nothing is official until it's been denied. But, you know, yeah. so then that's pretty much the reverse of that. But, you know, I mean, that's just how that works. But, boy, it's interesting. And the like you said before, we're going to have to outlaw those trucks and, you know, pretty much anything else that hurts people because, of course, yeah. people can use it in a bad way. You know, but the official death count, I guess, is up at 84 now. You know, I guess it was interesting to us that they were just finishing the filming of the sequel for the 50 Shades of Grey at the same time in that, you know, basically that same area. Rihanna says she's putting off her, you know, concert as well, you know, like Trump's putting off his VP, you know, announcement.
Yeah.
Who do you think he'll go ahead and pick? What do you think, Sheriff? I mean,
well, I really was surprised by Pence because I don't think he's very popular, even among Republicans. They don't know who he is. And so it kind of seems like that is the trend to pick someone less known. Like Sarah Palin was virtually unknown at the time that she got picked. Dan Quayle, virtually unknown when he was picked. And
yep.
it seems like that's the thing. They pick somebody who doesn't overshadow the actual candidate. And if you look mm-hmm. at the list for Hillary Clinton, it's the same thing. It's people that really are unknowns. In fact, of the five on her short list, I've only heard of one. And so this is the trend. And I predicted, and I even told this to Sheriff Arpaio, I predicted that he will actually surprise us still. I don't believe it's going to be Pence. I think it's still I think it's still going to be a big surprise.
Now, Joseph Farah from WorldNet Daily has got a piece. He says his prediction, Trump will win big. You know, he's looking at the 1980 for a historical parallel. I guess that's the Reagan deal. You know, I've said, at least personally, that I'd be surprised if Hillary gets a couple of states. But, you know, how do you see this thing, you know, at this time, you know, this whole horse race?
I think Hillary's going to win.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, if she can survive all this and still be tied at this point. Because if you look at the swing states, Donald would have to win almost all of them. And, you know, you first just start with East and West. She'll win California and she'll win New York. And those are two huge electoral college votes.
Do you think she'll win New York? At least
that's
one place where I...
And New York's not going to go with their fair-haired Trump Tower boy. No way.
Okay. Huh.
No.
Okay.
And so after that, you just have to say, okay, where's Donald going to pick up? If they're in a virtual tie, where's he going to pick up a state? Okay, he'll probably win Florida. I doubt very seriously if he's going to win Pennsylvania. And so, you know, I just don't think it's going to happen. And I think we're going to say President Clinton. And unless something happens, I mean, she took a little bit of a hit in the polls on this. But... I think the Republican Party is still going to be disjointed and divided, and I think that has hurt Donald, and it's going to hurt him some more. And it's just, you know, it's going to be great entertainment. It's going to be the dirtiest and most entertaining campaign in American history.
You know, it's interesting.
Now, here's an interesting tidbit for you guys. Mm-hmm. I can't get a hold of David Clark Jr. right now, but Right Wing Watch, they've been attacking me and Larry Pratt and Richard and everybody forever.
Yeah.
However, Right Wing Watch says this about David Clark. This is just comical.
Yeah.
Trump invites...
That he's a racist, right?
No, listen, Trump invites anti-government extremist sheriff to speak at the GOP. Now, since when was David A. Clark Jr. anti-government? I mean, this is crazy.
I'll tell you when he hangs out with us. See, that's when, you know, they put him that way.
So he is on the list of speakers, according to that one group.
Well, there's roll call saying it. There's Fox saying it. There's all kinds of people are saying it.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if Donald Trump doesn't have him, he's dumber than I thought. So
good point.
I think Donald has done some real dumb things during his campaign, but I think he's starting to settle down and he's starting to realize what's up now. And he would be really remiss not to have Sheriff Clark speaking. And obviously, a lot more people have thought about it than just you and me.
All right, NPR's reporting it too.
Well, that's fantastic. But, he should be speaking.
But you're saying, though, Sheriff, it doesn't really matter because Hillary's got this thing in the bag.
Well, I think she's going to win. And, you know, something's going to have to, if she doesn't, something's going to have to happen. You know, more scandal, just one more huge, strong scandal to show how dishonest she is. I mean, she has such a hard time with her reputation and her trustworthiness. And I thought it was really comical that she said she's now doing an ad showing how Donald Trump is not a good example to children.
Hey.
I know.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton telling that to our nation, that Donald Trump is not a good example.
All right, we're about out of time. Who do you think will be the VP pick? Any idea?
No, I think it's going to be a surprise. I think it's going to be, I don't believe it's going to be Pence or Newt or Sessions. I think it's going to be a surprise.
All right.
That's Donald's trend.
I'm hoping it'll be Pat Buchanan.
Or Ben Carson.
Yeah.
Scott Bradley, Sheriff Mack, you know.
Yeah, maybe
like
it'll
that.
Be David A. Clark Jr. Maybe that's why he's speaking. Maybe it'll be David A. Clark Jr.
Yeah, that'd be good work.
I'm just saying that'd be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been on the radio with us several times. He's been at the CSPOA. He said he's got our back, Sheriff.
Yeah.
What if you end up in the cabinet helping David A. Clark Jr.?
Well, if Clark goes, I have a good chance to go.
Are you going to show up at the convention magically, sir?
Negative.
All right.
I will not be there.
And that's a promise. Where are you going to be?
Unless you change my mind for me.
Where are you going to be?
I really don't know. Let's see. Oh, yes. I'm going to be in Navajo County campaigning for Don Wilson.
All right. By the way, I have been known to change Richard Mack's mind before, though, ladies and gentlemen. Just keep that in mind. Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Godspeed. There we go. You know what? Both hours in the can. Crazy stuff happening. Good things are going on. Sam and Kurt are going to be right in the thick of it. We can promise you that. And we report. And that's how it is. LibertyRoundtable.com. Tell all your friends because we got a barn burner series of broadcasts next week. I can tell you that. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. This nation shall endure.